But today, I want to talk about decisions determine your destiny. I preached a little bit on this similar, but today, just specifically, your decisions determine your destiny. We all have dreams and goals and visions, and the Lord knows that. And He's got all kind of roadmaps in His Bible that show us ways that people have erred from those paths. Because the Word teaches us, you know, the Proverbs 14:12 says, wisdom speaking here, Solomon, right? Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You don't want to go that way. Amen? Because God says, don't go that way. That's the way of the wicked. But there is a way there. There is a way to that destruction. You want to stay out of it. How do you do that? Well, let's go to the Old Testament. In the book of Judges, we're going to be in chapter 13. That's right after Joshua. Judges chapter 13. Now, hang on with me a little bit, because I'm going to read kind of fast. We're not going to read this whole story of Samson, but I would encourage you to read. I mean, as a young kid, I remember Samson. That was Samson and Delilah. Boy, that was one of the big stories that we were taught in Sunday school. Well, this is what the Lord reminded me while I was at the beach. And then I went and read it again. See, the Word is alive. Chapter 13, it's not a long chapter. It says, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them, again, amen, unto the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, that was their enemy. They did evil, so they got turned over to the enemy, again. Now, there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. Sound familiar? And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children. I think Mama probably knew that, didn't she? But, here's a good but in the Bible. But you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful. Underline this in your Bible. Highlight it. Make a note. Be careful, therefore, not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. Underline that. For the child shall be a Nazarite to who? To God, not to mama. To God. From the womb, and he shall begin, to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Here's mama telling daddy the same story here. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. I just want to put this in there. If you know any mothers that are pregnant and trying to decide whether drinking is good for the pregnancy, right here it is. Amen.
Right.
All right, just throw that in there. My wife, we got four kids. She didn't drink any toxic drink, and we did drink back in them days. Two of them were born while we were still sinning. Amen. But we had common sense enough to know that ain't good for the baby, so I ain't going to do it. Amen? So it's not about you.
It's not good for the baby. It's not good for you either.
It's not good for the baby. It's not good for you either. Right? Hey, we tell you the truth here at this church. Amen? Because we know we don't want you to go down the way of death. So her husband, Manoah, prayed to the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to me again or us again and teach us. See, teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but her husband was not there. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just appeared to me again. So he rose, her husband rose and followed his wife. And when he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to this woman? Woman is just a cultural day of saying, this is my wife. And he said, I am. I like that I am. You need to underline that. I am. The great I am. So, Manasseh, her husband said, now let your words come to pass. See, that's a husband protecting her wife, his wife. Amen. He wanted to make sure this was a word from God. And when he knew in his heart that it was true, he said, let it come to pass. See, he was covering his wife, watching over his wife. If this is from God, I want to hear it face to face. I want to know. Because, you know, she's been barren. You don't need to, you know, break somebody down, but give them a prophecy and then don't come to pass. Come on now. It's the truth. It's going to come to pass. And God is a miracle working God. He said in the beginning, be fruitful, multiply. He ain't changed, right? Barren was not his desire for Samson's mom. So let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and what will be his work, his purpose? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. See, he's not telling the angel's not saying what needs to happen here. See, some things are just between you and God. Amen? That's between you and God. But if it's God, if it's a work of God, what's it going to be? It's going to be a good work. Say good. Amen? Because God's good. So she may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I have commanded her, let her observe. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you and prepare a young goat for you. In other words, feed you and take care of it before you go on your trip. And the angel of the Lord said to him, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. And he said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name that when your words come to pass, we may honor you? And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is, help me, wonderful. What is one of Jesus' name? Wonderful. God. Mighty God. Counselor. Something wonderful is getting ready to take place if you let Jesus into your life. Amen. So Manoah took the young goat, grain offering, and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended, not descended, ascended in the flame of the altar. And when they saw, him and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. And when the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And he said to his wife, we shall surely die. See, now here's something they need to understand. They had a wrong understanding of God. There's things they've been taught, you know, because if you see God face to face, you're going to die. Well, this wasn't God in the spirit form. It was in a fleshly form, Jesus incarnate, pre-incarnate, something they could not be consumed with. See, God can do things past what he'll show you great and mighty things, Jeremiah 33, that you don't understand. God is God, amen? Now, he's not going to violate his word. God won't, he can't lie. But his wife said to him, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering. See, they knew about offerings here. From our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. So the woman bore a son, called his name, help me, Samson. Jim, do you know what that word means? I didn't look that up, that word Samson. Called his name Samson, and the child grew. Angel appeared. Come on, go back to Jesus. Remember Jesus when he was born? Kind of similar. The angel appeared to Mary. Remember at the time when all these words, good words, were delivered, it says, and Jesus, as the child grew. As the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Manasseh, Dan between Zor and, I'm not going to try to pronounce that one. How many times did this angel talk about this vow? No drinking wine, similar drink, not eating anything unclean. He emphasized that about 3 or 4 times in that chapter, right? To the parents. Samson wasn't here yet, right? But he drilled this into the parents. Why? don't want to go the way of the dead, but more than that, he's going to be a speaker for God Almighty. He's going to be a deliverer to the Israelites. Amen. The Bible says, be sober-minded. What does that mean? Be sober-minded. Don't put anything else up here that shouldn't be there. So in other words, if you put anything in your body that's going to mess your mind up, that's not sober-minded, right? I don't care if it's drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. Amen. We all need help in those areas. Amen. You can eat food that's got certain kind of stuff in it that can get... Amen. There's all kind of things out there. So now let's go over to chapter 14. We're not going to read this whole chapter, but taking you through Samson, through the story here, but I do recommend you go back and read it. Judges 14, verses 1 through 9. Now Samson, now he's grew up now. He's growing up. Don't know exactly how old he is, but he's not on mama's knee anymore, right? He probably can't be spanked anymore. See, there comes a time when you use the rod, the belt, the hickory switch. Hickory switch, yeah, that's what I got when I was growing up. When I didn't listen to mama. I usually got put on her lap, plus got the hickory switch. Because I was a pretty good runner. She had to throw me down and hold on to me. Dallas, he was one. Sherry just walked out here. Dallas one, boy, he was hard to catch. Well, he just turned beet red, like we're going to kill him when we bring the belt. He's like, I think he's a good actor. I mean, by the time you want to get the belt, it's kind of like he's so distraught, forget it. I think we learned on that a little bit. But anyway, you got to catch them sometime. But Samson went down, chapter 14, he went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Philistines is God's enemy. Okay? The Philistines are not good people. So Samson went and told his father and his mother, saying, I've seen a woman. She's looking good, Daddy. She's down in the town of the Philistines. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. She's the one, Daddy, Mama. And she's in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, go get her for me. I want her. And his father and his mother said to him, come on, son. Is there not any other woman besides this one? You know, this is, God said didn't do this. These are not good people. You shouldn't be there's plenty of women in our company, in the Israelite, in the nation of Israel that look just as fine. Among all of our people, is there not somebody that you must go and get a wife from the, help me, uncircumcised Philistines? That's the ones, they don't have a covenant with God. They're not teaching their kids like Samson's mom and dad was teaching them. And Samson said to his father, go get her. Let me get to verse 9 here. I'm kind of adding too much. Get her for me, for she pleases me well. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. Now, I want to inject this right here. It's not God's will that they go marry somebody out of covenant. But what's being said here is they didn't know that even though Samson was going to disobey God, God still was going to work it for the good of the Israelites. In other words, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows Samson's going to get in a mess, but God's going to get him out by his spirit. Because the people of Israel are more important than one bad thing you mess up. God can still use you. Amen? So God's not justifying it's okay to go marry somebody out of covenant. But they didn't know all of this. See, they didn't know Jeremiah 33:3. They didn't know all these great and mighty things. Maybe they didn't ask. Maybe they didn't want to ask. When you know your sons won't go there and mess with somebody that's not right, sometimes your flesh, you don't want to ask God because you know the answer, right? That's some wisdom sometimes. If you know the answer and you don't want to hear it, don't ask. But God wants you to know. Amen. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. I hadn't searched into that, but that might have probably good purpose there. You're going the wrong way, right? Not a good path. You're meeting up with the lion. But the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, Samson. I'm thinking maybe this could be a protection for his mom and dad. You know what I mean? Because the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he tore the lion apart. In words, he tore it from probably mouth, just split that lion apart. This is the Spirit of the Lord. This is what the anointing can do to anybody that'll believe God. Amen? This needs to stir you up right here. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. With his bare hands, Samson did this. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass. It says Samson turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey went in the carcass of the lion. Samson took some in his hands and went along eating. And when he came to his father and mother, he gave some of them to eat, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of a dead old stinking rotten lion. That he kind of painted a graphic picture. It's been a while. This is a dead carcass, but there's honey in there. Now, 3 points I want to make right here, and the fourth one's coming. How many times did Samson decide, decisions determine your destiny? That needs to be burned in our spirit. Your decisions we make determine our destiny, whether that's good or bad. God's not going to be mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Amen? But there's an out. There's an exit. It's called Jesus. I don't want you to leave here condemned. If there's a snake in the garden, I've heard one preacher say, tell the wife, know where the hoe is. Get the hoe if I'm not home. And take the head off of that snake. Amen. Don't let that snake stay in the garden, because once he gets in them weeds, you don't know where he's at. If you see him, kill him. If you see the devil messing around, take his head off, like David would say, with the word of God. Speak the word over that situation. Amen. Amen. Don't let that snake crawl in bed with you. I'm talking about the devil's subtle. Just that little bit. It'll be okay. Just that little bit. No. God said it's not good. Amen.
Amen.
How many times did Samson decide to disobey what he had been taught? Say taught. His parents, see, he grew. They taught him as little, and they put it into his mind where he can understand as a baby. We're not going to drink wine, neither you drink wine. We're not going to have any similar drink. No, you have no similar drink. And we're not going to eat anything unclean. Why? Because God, we love God. We honor God. See, it's all about God, and it's not about what people think about you. What does God think? And God loves you, and he knows the wages of sin are death. But there's other people that needed a deliverer out here. Samson was chosen by God before he was born, and the parents drilled in. This is what we're not going to do. But Samson, what's going on here? He's making his own decisions and telling mama to back him. Amen. How many times? Verse 2, he said, 34, this ain't good. He's going to marry out of covenant. Exodus 34:16 and Deuteronomy 7:3 says, you're not going to marry. God said, do not marry a stranger, those that don't have a covenant. Strike one. He says, I want this woman and I want her now. Go get her, mom and daddy. They did. The second one in verse 3, 14:3. His father and mother said to him, is there no other woman, the daughters of your brethren, or among my people, that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? There's Exodus 20:12. He was disobedient to his parents. The parent says, no, that's not the right choice. And what did he say? I want her. He disobeyed his parents. Samson disobeyed. What's righteous? What's holy? Because, I don't want to get ahead. The third one, verses 8 and 9. That we read. After some time, he returned to that lion and he found the honey in there. And what did he do? Man, he grabbed it, put it in his hand, ate it. But not only did he eat it, he took it to his parents and gave it to them. What was one of the laws? Eat no unclean thing. It was a dead carcass, and they were called not to do that. There's all kinds of diseases and stuff in there. God said, don't do it. What does he do? Disobedience. Disobedience. The Lord still loves us. Amen. God's callings are irrevocable. You can't send them away, but you can get out of his covenant and out of his protection and out of his blessings, right? It's all through the Bible. Decisions determine your destiny. The Lord wants us to do some thinking, do some serious thinking before we do some spouting off at the mouth, right? Because we know what the Word teaches us. Man, our words are like swords. Amen. They can either cut the enemy's head off, or they can get the enemy right in bed with us by those subtleties, by disobedience. Samson went on and married this young lady out of covenant. I'm not going to read the whole story, but if you're going to read, he married her. His father-in-law, while he was out of town, let somebody else get in bed with her, Samson's wife. And then Samson found out about it, and he wasn't too happy. I wouldn't be either, right? And he went off, killed some people, killed some Philistines. And then Philistines heard, they got mad because their people got killed. Well, they came back and burned Samson's wife and her father. Decisions determine your destiny. Samson's got some things all messed up, and it's affecting other people's lives. Let's go, James 1:19. You ain't got to go there. Just know this. James, this is the New Testament. James 1:19 says, be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. Because, see, those words are going to make some decisions and destiny in your life. It might not seem what you said is really affecting anything yet, but keep saying certain things and hearing certain things. Next thing you know, you got a disaster. Amen? Let's get on now. Let's get on down to chapter 16. Read chapter 16, 1 through 4. Now Samson went to Gaza, and he saw a harlot there. Harlot, do I have to give graphics on that? Harlots, prostitutes. Not good. And he went in to her. He had relations with her. Sexual relations with her. Mama, daddy, is that good? Is mama, daddy? They wouldn't like that. And when the Gazarites were told Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. And they were quiet all night, saying, in the morning when it's daylight, we'll kill him. And Samson laid low till midnight, and he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts and pulled them up. They had him fettered and chained, but the Spirit of the Lord. And put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman. He just had relationships with the harlot. Now he's in love with another woman. Somebody help me here. Boy needs help. Boy needs mom and daddy to sit down and have a conversation. Lord, what you're doing is not pleasing God. Forget about us right now. It's just not pleasing God. We want you to be blessed in life. These are just conversations we want to have. We want the best for you in life, and it's going to come by. You got to keep God first. Man, these decisions you're making, they're not going to be good. And it's not only affecting you, it's affecting others. Amen. That's the Father's heart. He sees all the end from the beginning. Samson's just not getting a hold of this. He went into a harlot, and then he had another relationship with the one we're familiar with, Delilah. Samson and Delilah. I call it, of course, if you're following Brother Kenneth Copeland, they just had, the week we was at the beach, they had the big one. There was the big Texas, down in Texas, it was the big convention Monday through Saturday. It might have been Sunday through Saturday, but it was long. It was at least Monday through Saturday. It was advertised as the big one, man. There were some great things that happened at that meeting. Well, this is a big one, and it wasn't some great things. It was some bad things. Samson and Delilah. This was the big one that was excavating because of all these things that Samson's disobeying the Lord. He's not, the Spirit of the Lord's still moving upon him. He's in disobedience, but the Spirit of the Lord is still protecting him, protecting mama. See, we can't do that and experience the blessing of the Lord in the land of the living. The big one, he told his secret to Delilah. Delilah deceived him. See, if you go back and you read the story, the Philistines, Delilah is of the Philistines. And they went to her before she went to Samson and said, hey, we got some money, about $1,500 in silver. If you'll get his secret, because he's wiping our armies out, we need to know, because he's not this big of a man, we need to know where all this strength is coming from. We need to know that secret. And you've got the looks to kill. Be a good one right there. And we got plenty of money to feel. You got the looks to kill, and we got the money to feel all the pain and suffering you're going to suffer for doing this. And that's what Delilah did. She went into Samson, and she, just like the devil, deceived him with her looks, with the money she was going to be getting. She gave all that she had to get his heart, to get this secret. See, the big one was he told his secret to Delilah. And when he did that, he grieved the Holy Ghost. He grieved the Spirit of God. And it cost him both his eyes, because after that deception, when they came in, they took him because the Spirit of the Lord didn't come upon him then because the anointing wasn't there. And what's so sad, although he didn't even know it wasn't there, because he rose up expecting to act and have that strength, and it wasn't there. Because all those little subtleties, that disobedience, and then where's the Spirit of the Lord? He's not there. See, God can't continue to bless all these lies and deception, because that's not God. He's the Spirit of truth. Amen. But he's also the Spirit of restoration and the God of the second, the third, and the fourth chance. Amen. Because he knows the ways of man is death, but he's not a man that he should lie. See, God's a spirit, and he's a spirit of love and truth and grace. And somebody say, mercy. Mercy was needed here. Amen. Mercy was needed. So he was captured by the Philistines, plucked both of his eyes out. He lost his position of authority. He was the deliverer for the Israelites. Now they were vulnerable to the enemy. It was down. The deliverer, he was knocked out. Let's go to, you're right there at 16, go to verse 21. Is this okay? You're comfortable? Your flesh is probably not. You're like, oh man, this is, whew. That's good, because our flesh is not going to get us the blessing of the Lord. Amen. It's the Word of God. Verse 21, the Philistines took him. They took Samson. They put his eyes out. They brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. This is not God's will. This is not God's plan for Samson. This is not God's plan for you, for your children, for your grandchildren. Amen? Amen. However, say however. Amen. But also, I forgot to tell you, you know the story of Delilah. The strength was his hair. I got that. I got some notes. But that hair, when his hair was cut, the covenant was cut. See, that was a vow that was given to him. And his mom and his dad, I know they told him, son, God has chosen you. And we're not going to cut your hair, because this is a vow. It's a sign, say sign, of the covenant. Just like circumcision is a sign to the Jews of a covenant. Well, Jesus, when we come to him, Jesus is the sign of our covenant with God. We don't do the fleshy stuff anymore. We do the sign of the spirit of the covenant. We believe. We believe on Jesus. That was the sign when his hair was cut, the covenant. He disobeyed that covenant. He came out of covenant. God didn't come out of covenant with him. He came out of covenant with God. I don't want this anymore. I despise this covenant. And it cost him. That covenant, that protection was down. If you're a big Star Trek, the shields was down, Scotty. The engine room. Anybody a Star Trek fan? Shields up. Come on, man. I have no Cowboys fans and no Trekkie fans in here. We're going to have to go out here, and we got to move among the people, Lord. Bring the Cowboy fans and the Trek fans in. The shields are down. You never go into the enemy knowing that Star Trek, James T. Kirk, I'm going to give you just a small thing. He had an enemy there. His main enemy was called the Klingons. Anybody ever heard of the Klingons? Go to the movies. Now, some of these movies is okay. They had a ship that would go invisible. It had a cloaking device. But, see, you gotta understand, if it was cloaked invisible, the only bad thing to that enemy, they couldn't fire their weapons as long as they were invisible. So, a lot of times, Jim would get in situations, they couldn't see the ship, and next thing, their shields are down, but then that ship appears. And Jim's like, shields up, shields, because he knows they can't fire until that ship becomes visible. Never let your guard down. Because the devil is waiting to hit you with all that he has if you get out of that covenant. Shields up, Scotty. Get into the book of Ephesians. You wear the whole armor of God. You get in bed with the whole armor of God, right? It's comfortable. It's a spiritual armor. Amen? Don't take it off. And you know what the underwear under the armor is called, don't you?
Absolutely.
What is it, Jim?
Fruit of the Spirit.
Not fruit of the loom. don't be wearing that armor and expect it to protect you if you're not walking in love. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness. If you're not operating that, you don't have God's armor on, right?
Yeah.
And Saul knows about armor. You don't want to wear an armor that ain't fitting. Amen. But you, and you don't, it's not all these things you do. Don't misunderstand me. It's the grace of God that keeps you in that armor. And amen. You can't just go out here and do a sin and lose that armor. No, the covenant has been cut with Jesus. And Jesus never is never coming out of that covenant. So you need to say, like the song says, and like that sign we got up in the front that says, thank you, Jesus. Amen. That I'm covered no matter how bad I mess it up. You've got me covered because Jesus said, I'll never come out of this covenant because he never sinned. Amen. Now, this is the that's the kind of the ending of this great, great message. It's the message of grace. But you got to see, sin is not good. You give an opening to the devil, he'll take a shot at you. Right? We don't want to give him no shots. It cost Samson his eyes. It cost him his position of authority. Now, did I ever finish reading 16 through 21? They took his eyes out. They brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with fetters. However, here we go. Here's God. However, the hair of his head began to grow. Now, God has never left him. He just came out of covenant, but Samson's starting to get some wisdom. He's starting. Let me go on. His hair began to grow again after it had been shaven. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, might as well say devil, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, oh, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. About time for God to show up. Because when here's the wicked rejoicing because the devil is bigger than God. Look out. I don't care if you're blind. I don't care if you're poor. I don't care if you ain't got nothing. If you got Jesus, you got more than the devil ever had. Amen. Amen. You got the word. You got the victory. But you got a call. Jeremiah 33. Call. Amen. See, when the devil's got you down and your condemnation don't make you want to call. It makes you want to whine and complain. The children of Israel murmur against all this stuff. And it's because of this woman you gave me and my kids are this way because... See, don't blame God. He's not your problem. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered him to our hands, our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. And so it happened. That's all I was going to read, but anyway. Yeah, I'm sorry. So it happened when their hearts were merry. What were they doing? Drinking wine, similar drink. When their hearts were merry, they said, call for Samson. Come on now. I didn't pick Jeremiah 33 for nothing. The Lord didn't this morning. Call for Samson. They didn't know they was calling upon God. Amen. The one that was anointed by God, that was appointed by God, that was chosen by God is getting ready to deliver the children of Israel by destroying these great people right here. See, they're mocking God. They're mocking Samson. They're mocking who he stands for. There's people out there mocking you, but we don't. Let me get to the end of the story here. They called for Samson that he may perform for us. Oh, if they had only knew. The Bible says if the devils had only knew that they crucified the Lord, they wouldn't have done it. Right here's a picture of it right here. If they had knew that Samson, what he was going to do, what's he going to do? They called for Samson from the prison and he performed for them. He was out there doing whatever they doing, no eyes. They mocking him. And they stationed him between the pillars. And Samson said to the lad, there's a boy right here, who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars. Thank you, Jesus. There's some pillars that's been established by God that the devil's tried to destroy in your life. But God's got a hold of it. Amen. You. Don't you ever let go of God. You might think the enemy's overtaking your family, overtaking this or that. Mm-mm. Thank you, Jesus. Let me feel the pillars which support the temple, that I can lean on them. If you need somebody to lean on, who are you going to lean on? Lean on God. Lean on Jesus. He's your brother. Amen. Lean on Jesus. And the temple was full of men and women, and I'll just put an adjective, wicked men and women. These are the enemies of God. All the lords, these are the generals of the Philistines, the armies. About 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. And you can imagine they're probably spitting, they're drunk, so they're even saying worse things, and you can even imagine what's going on. I've been to some of those parties. I know one of them was Jim. I've even been in the midst of all that stuff. Thank you, Jesus, for getting me out. He had a deliverer. One of them was Jim Howard. One of them was Dr. Gary Price. They were ministers that was preaching the gospel while I was a sinner. Amen. They were my deliverers. They was the one that was preaching the word. Because God knew before I was born that I'd preach his word. Amen. Yeah. So Jim knows this. All these ministers, there's a greater purpose than just the ministry that's upon me. It's for others. Amen. That's why you should even think, be swift to hear before you say things, because you're not going to only affect you, you're going to affect others around you. Amen. He got a hold of them pillars. Now that the temple that was full of men and women, all the lords of the Philistines were there, 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. And Samson called to the Lord. He didn't forget his number. He's got him in his contact list. He called to the Lord saying, "O Lord God, remember me." What did Jesus say on that cross? "Lord, don't hold this sin against him. Remember me. For me, hold not their sin. Account it not to them." Amen. Jesus was on two pillars. He was on that cross. He could have pulled it down. He could have came down, couldn't he? He could have let destruction come on all mankind, but he said no. He was going to be that sacrifice. Amen. He was going to take care of the enemy, but it was going to be a different way. Jesus, that's what Jesus did. "Oh God, that I may blow, with one blow, take vengeance on the Philistines." Or he said, "Oh Lord, remember me, I pray, strengthen me. I pray just this once. Oh God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on the right and one on the left. And Samson said, "Let me die." Now, I believe Samson could have lived. But Samson decided, "I want to die here." I believe he could have walked out of there. I don't know all that story. That's between Samson and God. But a martyr's death, amen, there's nothing disgraced about that. I'm not talking about suicide here. This wasn't another religion might take this, but he's a suicide bomber. No, he had a covenant with God. He was walking in love with God. Amen. "And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the Lord's, all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he killed in his life." So see, that's where you take the scripture that God will work together for good. Come on. Those that love him. Out of a bad situation, God can work it to good if you love God, if you're called according to his purpose, which Samson was, and he didn't look at his sin, he looked at his heart. And Samson, what did he do when he called upon the Lord? He repented. Repented. Confessed, 1 John 1:9. If you know your sin, confess your sin. It's not to benefit God, it's to benefit me, right? To keep me clean, to keep my conscience, my mind clear before God. And that's where, a few more notes here and we're closing. Samson's spiritual sight had been gone for a long time. I don't know how long he was in this prison. You could probably get some commentaries and find out. But I know to be out of the presence of the Lord 10 seconds, I don't want it. Amen. Because he was in condemnation. He just figured the Lord forsook him. Because even Samson's spiritual sight had been gone for a long time. He had been totally consumed by the lust of his eyes. He was captured. Now that his physical eyes were gone, he began to see with his heart, and his reason returned. See, those physical eyes, remember the Apostle Paul, he was blinded by the light, by Jesus when he appeared to him on the road to Damascus. But then Paul started looking on, God started speaking to his heart. Amen. Samson was grinding in the prison house, not with God's supernatural strength that he once possessed, but he was grinding in his own strength. If we fail to, and I'm not speaking failure to anybody in this church, but if we fail to accomplish God's will in his strength, then we will be doomed to the drudgery of life in our own strength. Amen. That's just a good little footnote. Samson's strength, it wasn't in his hair. Long hair doesn't give strength. Thank you, Jesus. Because I used to have some. I didn't have locks and I didn't have dreads. But I ain't going to say that. I say, but what I'd pay to have a little bit of them back. I'd take more care of them. Amen. I wouldn't twist. I had hair. My wife just had this habit of twisting back here at the back. She said, "Quit. You're going to pull your hairs out of your head." I'm like, "Shut up, woman." Man, God was calling out to my wife, and I wouldn't listen. No habits. Samson's strength, it was not in his hair. Long hair don't give strength. Samson's hair was a sign of his covenant with God. And he had heard that and heard that and heard that. This shows the great grace of God. The Lord was free of his covenant to Samson. He was free. Samson had broken it, and the Lord would have been just to never have given him anything that he had promised. Parents, can you agree to that? All the things we give our kids, they reject us, reject us. Man, we don't have to give them anything. But love says, what does it do? It just gives. Amen? Love just gives. But as Samson's hair began to grow again, God strengthened Samson again. Samson's hair couldn't have grown as long as it was before. Yet God strengthened him greater than he had ever before. Because see, it wasn't about the hair. It was about Samson's heart changed. It did a 360. He repented of all, I'm sure of all the things he knew he had done wrong. And you know when you're sinning. People ain't got to tell you you're sinning. We know when we mess it up. God doesn't need, he just needs us to be truthful, be honest with him. Amen. Their God didn't deliver Samson into their hands. Samson delivered himself into their hands by what he did. Amen. See, God couldn't get glory out of that, but God got glory at the end because he was justified. Samson had been feared by his enemies when he was filled with the strength of God's Spirit. Now he was mocked by the same people when he is reduced to his own power. We need to learn a lesson here. It's only God's power in us that promotes us. And we talked about this at the beginning. Left to ourselves, we are nothing. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask anything, you'll get it. But he says, if you get severed from me, Jesus said, you can't do nothing without me. It's the love of God. That's what compels us to do good things is his love. And we got to stay connected to that love line. Amen? Love line. See, the big one was when Samson broke his Nazarite vow by telling where his strength was. And he told that to somebody that didn't even have a covenant with God. Man, you don't go and tell your enemies what that's called treason, right? We would say that's treason. That's against God. See, he told all his heart to this woman. This was his covenant relationship that he only had with the Father. See, God never forsakes us. We are the ones that turn from him and wonder why bad things are happening in our life. Just repent. Amen. And get on with what God's called you to do. And laugh at the devil. Amen. Poke his eyes out with the faith stick. Ha ha. You thought you had me down. God says. Call it, what's God say? I got this message at the beach. Now, this is me speaking now. I'm not Samson. I'm Jackson. Amen. Action Jackson. That's what some of my teammates used to call me when I played football. When I played football, I was about 175 pounds. Believe it or not. tell them, Sherry, I looked good, didn't I? 175 pounds. Number 60, that was my number. Number 60. And I have not looked that up in the Bible, but that was my number. The heart was somewhere. I love football. I got this message at the beach after we had a heart-to-heart with some of our kids, and it was an open heart-to-heart. We just got to sharing and talking about some things. That evening, God took me, after that conversation, God took me to the book of Judges, and he pointed out to me the importance of obeying his word. The importance of obeying his word, because he just showed me that Samson, after all that teaching, went out and did what he wanted to do, what his eyes saw. I can do this. God's protecting me. God loves me. He'll overlook. See, God doesn't wink. In the old covenant, he winked at some things. Because we didn't have Jesus, he kind of winked at sin. In other words, if he would have got what he was supposed to have got, that's called mercy, not giving you that. It was because of God's great mercy. Because man, without his spirit, ain't much. See, God breathed into our spirit and we were separated. But God never separated from us. Amen? We were just separated from him for a season. Say season. And we're out of that season because Jesus has came. Amen. This is an old covenant story. I mean, I was told this in Sunday school, but nobody told me. I didn't have the Holy Ghost tell me all this good stuff. Amen. The good stuff is Samson's in heaven. He's with Jesus. He's with the Father. Truly, it is truly. God took me to Judges and pointed out the importance of obeying his word. It is truly a life or death situation. the words we speak. Whether obeying God or not obeying God, it's life or death. Amen? Don't walk on that line. Decisions determine your destiny. And then after that, I went out to the beach. We had some rain, had a lot of rain, had a lot of sun. Not a lot of sun, but I don't like sun. I get underneath the umbrella. Jim's went down to Jim's place. He's got a lot, nice umbrellas. And I'm out there, and I'm just looking at all that water out there. And it's not raining, but the ocean. Just sea from shining sea is that song we see. From sea to shining sea. All I could see was water. Looking out at the ocean, what do I see? Endless water as far as the eye can see. But God says, looking at my word, endless possibilities as far as your faith can believe. Amen. There's endless possibilities in God, but it's going to take you faith. You got to go to the beach if you want to see the water. You got to go to Jesus if you want to see the endless possibilities, the miracles in your life. Amen. And you ain't got to go do all this crazy stuff that Samson did. All you got to do, yes, Lord, be swift to hear and slow to speak, but be swift to speak his word. Amen. Say, yes, Lord, I will obey your word. Amen. And I tried to get a song. The Cotman family sings a beautiful song, Just Once More, Lord. And I could not get that song, but I'm going to find it. I'm going to buy the CD that they sing about Samson and what he did. Just one more. Once more, Lord, give me that anointing, that strength to destroy those that are mocking God. And see, this is what we've been called to do, is love people into the kingdom. The devil has them deceived out there by the lust of their eyes. It's the three temptations that we've got to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony is the lust of the eyes, the flesh, and the pride of life. In other words, what you see, I want it. See, that's pride. God looks through all that. Jesus looked through all the sin that we were in and saw the total prize. He saw you at Word of Faith Worship Center today hearing the good news story. Sometimes it's at the end of the book. Keep reading the book. Amen. In the end, what does it say? Revelation. We win. Yes. Amen. Now, there's a lot of stuff. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, and then you get chapters 21 through on in the book of Revelation. There's a lot of bad stuff all in the middle of that. But God's right in the middle of it, getting us to the end. Amen. We're in the dispensation of grace. And we got the grace of God and the power of God, the Spirit of God. So don't leave this house. If you don't know Jesus, this is a place to meet him. And if you met him, this is a place to be filled with the Spirit. We believe in tongues, speaking in tongues here and being baptized and filled and flowing in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, of the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
Because you need every tool in your tool chest to fight the good fight of faith out there and defeat the devil every time. Amen?
Amen.
I don't carry a gun. I carry a sword. Some guys in here, some women might be carrying guns. That's okay. But there's a weapon you never leave, a Christian, and that's the sword of the Word of God. That's your, amen? Always keep that thing. Sometimes you need to just keep it in your hand, depending on where you're at. Brother Tim Sutton just got back from Sturgis, preaching the gospel evangelist, and I'm sure he had his sword out. You know, he's walking down through a lot of people riding bikes. Some of them saved, some of them ain't saved, some of them probably in all these gangs. But you know what? Jesus is still there. He's a friend of sinners. But he's calling. Some of them will come, some of them won't. But God's still calling, right? Because it's his will that none perish. Amen? So let's pray. Father, I just thank you right now for this message today, Lord. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get to say everything the Lord told me to say today, but he helped me. He gave me the strength to do it. So, Father, we just thank you that just like Samson, Lord, we've made some faults and errors in our lives, and we're going to make some faults when we leave this place. But you have a covenant with us through Jesus Christ. And if we have Jesus, we have the ultimate sacrifice that no matter how far I've messed it, Jesus blessed it. I said, no matter how far you messed it up, Jesus has blessed it and fixed it up. All you got to do is call upon him. Call upon the Lord, and he'll show you those great mighty things that you don't know, whether it be for you, for your children, or for your children's children. God wants us all saved. He wants us all walking in his Spirit and walking in his blessings. So, Father, we just thank you right now that, Holy Spirit, you're magnifying this message and all the hearers today, Lord. And for those that are not here today, Father God, we just lift up all our members. Elaine, right now, Lord, she's battling high blood pressure right now. Lord, you are the anointed one. Jesus, you are the anointed one. And Elaine knows you as her healer. So right now, Satan, we defeat you right now in the name of Jesus. We command those just like Samson was on those pillars, he tore them down. We tear that down right now in the name of Jesus. That curse of high blood pressure, whatever's causing it in Elaine's body, we command it to be loosed right now in the name of Jesus, and for her to walk free. And Lord, because Jesus has destroyed that enemy that's causing her blood pressure not to function right. And Jesus, we just thank you for that covenant right now that Elaine has for her to be free, and for Michelle right now, Father God, for her to rise up off of that bed of affliction, and for her not to have pain through the surgery, Lord, for her heart not to be affected, for her body to become strong, Lord, just like you strengthened Samson. We're asking for that same strength, Lord, that's in Michelle, to come on her body and to come on her mind, and for her to walk and not be behind but be in front of life with Jesus, to be walking with Jesus and not behind Jesus. And Father, we just pray that Mark would see that revelation too, and they would go hand in hand together in this covenant, Father. They have a covenant with you, Lord. And we just thank you right now, Lord. We speak blessings to them right now. It's blessings to Michelle and Mark that they are above only and not beneath. And Lord, open up their eyes, Lord, just like Samson, he lost his physical eyes, but he had heart, spiritual eyes. Lord, open up their eyes that they would see the love of Christ that's been shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. And this is not your best. This is not your plan for them. Your plan for them is the best plan, is to be blessed, walking in divine health, and giving praise and honor and glory to you. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.